We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Now, you know, my friends, we've been talking to you from time to time about the Psalms. I don't know how many messages we brought you like this, but I'm calling your attention this morning to a marvelous verse, wonderful verse. It's in the 33rd Psalm, the 11th verse of this Psalm. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Now, I want you to notice the verse just before that, the 10th verse of the 33rd Psalm. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. Isn't that a wonderful statement? That if all the forces and schemes and plans of men are organized against you, and God is for you, God brings to naught all the things that man can do, all the schemes, all the plans. Alexander the Great was going to conquer the world, and that was his plan, so they say. But all came to naught. Hitler, you remember Hitler? Oh, that name, Hitler. I was over in Germany just after he came to power. I can never forget that goose step, that strut. I was in Berlin and could see his car go down the street and everybody saluting. Oh, how many dreams he had of empire and power. He was going to do it. And you know what happened to him? He came to ruin. Of course, he left a bloody trail. Caused pain and suffering and sorrow. But all of his schemes came to naught. You remember Bible stories of men that exalted themselves, that said, I'll take over. You remember the story of the great man, Nebuchadnezzar, who's going to rule the world. And one day you find him out yonder, instead of ruling the world, eating straw like an ox. Isn't it strange what dreams men have and plans men have? I remember a story of a certain friend of mine who was a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And he's dead and gone now, this preacher is. But he was holding a revival meeting in a little town down south. He was a good man. But the town was soaked with whiskey, and wicked men were running things. And they got together in a little room and said, let's do something to keep him from carrying on this meeting. We're not going to have it. The town might go dry. This might happen. Something else might happen. There were three men in the group. And all three of those men were dead within a week. The schemes of man, plans of man. Listen, men and women, you better be careful how you deal with God. And you better be careful how you deal with God's servants. You better watch out. If God calls a man to do something and anoints him to do a job, you better be careful. If God brings an institution into existence with a purpose and a plan, and that institution is loyal to Jesus Christ, you better be careful about your attitude toward it. You may not like everything about a preacher, maybe in your town, but you better not kick these preachers of the gospel around. You're not to put protecting arms about men that don't preach the gospel. You're not to do that. The Bible gives you clear and specific directions about what to do. The Bible says if a man comes along and brings any message except the gospel message, and you receive him into your house and bid him Godspeed, then the Bible says you're a partaker of his evil deed. Now, if a modernistic preacher was in a pulpit in a town, preaching in this pulpit somewhere, didn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, the blood of Christ, didn't believe the Bible's the word of God, I would not officially recognize him as a preacher. I might officially recognize him as a citizen, as an American, or as a scholar, or as a military man, but not as a preacher. Now, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says you're not to recognize him by receiving him into your home and bidding him Godspeed to do the work that's wrong, the work that's contrary to God. Now, practically all of the denominations in this country are built on the Word of God and the doctrines, the fundamental doctrines of the Word, on the essential doctrines, such as the deity of Christ, the blood of Christ, salvation by faith in Christ. They are all on that. The creeds as we call them, of our churches, most of them are sound on the essential fundamentals, that is, of all Trinitarian churches. They are not divided about those things as far as the statement of creed is concerned, or the statement of fundamental belief. Now, that's there, but sometimes men build on this foundation programs that are false programs, programs contrary to what they say they believe. Now, I remember one time how I was tremendously impressed as a boy. I saw a great Methodist bishop, a wonderful man, and a group of young preachers came there and stood in front of the altar of the church in which I held membership. And this man was taking those men into, I think he's ordaining them and taking them to the conference. And this great good man said, and he was a great good man, oh, how that man could preach. And he said, now, you take this obligation, and I want you to notice it, he stopped and emphasized it, that you'll drive away strange and erroneous doctrines contrary to the articles of religion as set forth in our church. I'm not trying to word exactly. Well, I was tremendously impressed. Now, here's a group of young men taking a vow that they would be loyal to the essential fundamentals, articles of religion, anything contrary to those essential fundamentals. They would drive away all sorts of things. Now, that vow, of course, is a distinct vow, one denomination. But practically all men who are ordained in Trinitarian churches do take a vow, in substance, if not in words, to be loyal. They commit themselves to the loyalty to the doctrines. Now, the fundamental doctrines of all these churches are practically the same. They differ about some things. They may differ about mode of baptism. They may differ about whether a man can lose it after he gets it or not. They may differ about form of government. But they all agree. All Trinitarian churches agree on the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the blood of Christ, and so on. Yet I heard a preacher one time stand up in a pulpit and say to a good crowd, and most of his members were Orthodox, he said, I do not personally believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And he stood up there and said that. And I listened to him. I sat there and said to myself, now here's a man that says he doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. And you know what I noticed? I noticed that he was getting a good salary. He was being paid. You know, that isn't right. That isn't straight. You know, a man that'll go and take pay for digging up a foundation on which his house is built, and digs down into the foundation, that's wrong. You know, I believe in being consistent and honest and straight and fair and square. Now, you know, I hate to tell you Christian people this because I don't want to shock you. I don't want to shock you, but I think we ought to know it. There's a good deal of secret modernism in this country. As a rule, when you hear some preacher jumping on an Orthodox institution or an Orthodox preacher or an Orthodox Christian worker that's fighting for orthodoxy, and somebody's jumping on him, you may be under suspicion that that man is probably a secret modernist. He may not be outspoken, because some men do not dare to speak out about things like that. But I've met many secret modernists that people didn't know about. Now, men and women, listen just a minute. We ought to wake up in this country to what's going on, and all the influences at work in the world to dig at the foundations. But the foundation of God standeth sure. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. His word standeth forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Men may shake the faith in the word of God, but they can't shake the word. Men may shake the faith of men in the deity of Christ, but they cannot shake the fact that he is the Son of God, and when he was on earth, he was God incarnated. Men may shake the faith of people in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, but they cannot shake the truth of the fact that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The counsel of God stands. God, in his infinite wisdom, proposes the redemption of lost men, and God's going to win. And we turn the prophetic telescope to the sky someday, and we behold teeming millions out of every kindred and people and tongue and tribe and nation. And they're up there around the throne. They're praising God. They're singing about the blood of Christ. The blood that some men ridicule down here and the gospel at some man's point, and up in round the throne they sing and praise God. Listen, God is on the winning side. Jesus Christ is on the winning side. And you're on the winning side if you're on the side of God. And you're on the losing side if you're not on the side of God. The Lord bringeth the counsel of heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. He'll neutralize all of it. If a church goes modern, doesn't preach the gospel, then God will get a freelancer to get out and preach it. Talk about freelancers, you know. He's a freelancer. Don't slander the freelancers. That's what Martin Luther was. That's what John Wesley was. That's what Whitfield was. That's what John the Baptist was. He's a freelancer. Awful word to use, isn't it? Because you made it mean so bad, but I'm using the terms you use it. If there'd been no freelancers, you wouldn't have any American government. You know, these men that laid the foundation of America were freelancers. They weren't regular. They broke out of bounds, and they laid the principles. But the freelancers that God has blessed and prospered and used through the years were men that never sacrificed the fundamentals. Now the foundation of God is going to stand. The counsel of God will stand. Oh, my friend, you people that are trusting Him, you folks that love the Lord, you folks that refuse to have your faith shaken, you folks that are staying steady, just keep trusting and keep looking up and don't waver. Don't get disturbed. Don't let anybody scare you. Don't get afraid of them. Don't be uneasy. You're coming out on top someday. And all the schemes and devices of men will come to naught. And someday God will show you up to angels and men, spectacles for angels and men to behold, of those that never wavered, those that were true. And in this day, how important it is to have unwavering saints of God, folks that will not compromise.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.